You know, I like that song because salvation is a two-part plan. God does the biggest part, but we have a part that his part will not work unless we do our part. And this is part of that, our part. I am resolved to go to the Savior. Leaving behind sin and shame, I'm resolved for that. We sang a song last week, I'll Never Go Back Again. That is part of that resolve that I have. But you know, we're not having to do that on our own. We were singing this. I thought of a verse over in Matthew 11 and 28. We're not doing this by ourselves. It says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest to your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. And I like to think about that with these songs that we just sang. I am resolved. But you know what? I can't do it on my own. I'm going to need the Lord's help. But he says, I tell you what, yoke up with me and together we'll be able to do this. And I am very thankful for that. What I want to look at today, and before we start, I want to say that I am very thankful for the privilege that we have of living in America. There's things that we take for granted because we've had them at our fingertips for so long. We have all heard stories, read stories of people who maybe even came from overseas to here and had nothing but the clothes on their back and a willingness to work. And they were able, because they were willing to work in America, there was nothing held back from them. They could build something just because they were willing to work. You know, there's some countries that are not, that's not allowed. No matter how good of a mind you have, no matter how willing you would be to work, you're in a class, you're in a status symbol that you will never be able to climb from that. Well, that's literally. I am thankful that we have it here in America to where everyone has the same opportunity to be able to build something. And this is talking about literal things, but I also want to think about spiritual things. Salvation is something that is planned for everyone. It is not held back from anyone. And I thought of this. There is a verse that I want us to look at this morning. Matthew 5 and 6. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. You know, that is for everybody. There's not a caste system. Some will be able to be filled, but you won't be able to because you're not in the right class. No, this one says, blessed are they that hunger and thirst. If you have a hunger and a thirst for righteousness, everyone can be filled. And it made me think of a verse over here in the almost at the end of the Bible, Revelations 22 and 17. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. You know, John 3:16 was another one that is available for everyone. There's not a caste system. Some can get it, some cannot. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I am thankful that there's places through the Bible that says, you know what, I'm not restricted. There's nothing that will hold me back from being able to receive what God has for me if I will go after it. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst. You know, that talks about appetite. Hunger and thirst is more than just right on the surface. I was talking to Heather's girls a couple days ago, making lunch for them or something. And they said, you know what? Mama does not want us to say, I am starving. Because she says, you are not starving. You might be hungry a little bit. And then about that time I fix something for them, they say, I'm not really hungry. No, you're not starving. So I thought about that. You know, those are temporal things. Because I can remember when I was a child at home, it didn't happen very often, but sometimes if I came to the table and looked it over and I said, you know what, I'm just not hungry. Mom could often say, you're either sick or you have been snacking. What have you been eating on that causes you not to be hungry? And I want us to think about that because temporal things can also apply, has spiritual lessons to it also. It's been a while since I did it, but I remember this thing called the lemonade diet. I hope to never do it again. But it did teach me something for 10 days, because before I went on it, apple does not even look good. Fruit, no, I don't want that. Candy, cakes, you know, that kind of stuff looks good. Vegetables, forget that. Then 10 days of drinking lemon juice. And it says on day 11, don't eat anything. Just have orange juice is the only thing that you can have on day 11. You know, whenever on day 11, and I did it maybe a couple times. On day 11, when I put orange juice in my mouth, you would think you'd just turn it up and drink a half gallon. I didn't. I did it like I do mouthwash. Took a little sip and swished it around and got that flavor. And I mean, it was so wonderful. Fruit after that. Oh, just would you give me an apple? You know, if I could just have a slice of apple, it would be so good. Vegetable soup. Oh, that's a wonderful. It's got some taste to it. That's temporal things. But I want to tell you, the same thing happens to us spiritually. If I will come to the place that I'm filled, and, you know, easily for me, I can say, you know what, nothing I'm doing is sinful. I mark that off. I will not go into sinful areas. But, you know, I can just have my mind consumed with lawful things. And to where my appetite for, what is it? Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, they'll be filled. I want to look at a verse over in Proverbs 27 and 7, because this one has a little something for us, a lesson for us. 27 and 7. The full soul loatheth a honeycomb, but to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. You know, there's two lessons in this for us about appetite. One of them is, I can be so filled with the things of this world, the lawful things of this world, that I don't have much hunger when it comes for spiritual things. But also, you know what? Desire can kick in. And I can be so filled with a desire for spiritual things that the things of this world starts fading back. The most valuable thing to me are the spiritual things. You know, there are people that, you ever heard this term, a bucket list? It's just things that before my life is over, I'd like to be able to do this and this. And some of them are kind of crazy things. I'd like to parachute. I'd like to cliff hang and Mount Everest and just far off things. But you know what? I don't want to have this, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, to be a bucket list. You know, somewhere out in the future, I'd like to start being hungry for spiritual things. We don't want it to be that way. What I want it to be is a focused desire that I have today. And you know what? We don't have to go into condemnation the Lord comes to me and says, Dan, your mind's been taken up by the things that are happening in the world around you right now. There's a lot going on in the political world around us. Things that I can think about, what does the future hold for us? But to be able to have a focused desire, Lord, I want to hunger and thirst after the things of God. And there's a couple songs that we have. One of them says, let my heart ever be fixed. This is a desire that I have. And I don't want it to be, you know, sometimes we can sing a song and when we finish it, we hardly even remember what the song was because we're busy looking at the tune, make sure we sing it right. But there are some serious messages in some of the songs that we sing. This one says, let my heart ever be fixed on my treasures above. Let the pleasures of earth fade away. You know, we're talking about two parts here. God has a part and I have a part. He can cause me, he can work with me on let the pleasures of earth fade away. But you know what? There's also a part that I have to play. It's when I start realizing, you know what, I'm getting a little too consumed. My mind is a little too much on these temporal things. And there's some verses I want to look at that start heading us in a direction to where we're pushing away from those. Let the pleasures of earth fade away, for there's nothing so lovely as Jesus to me. Let me never from his love go astray. That is a focused desire. And as I go along and I start feeling, you know what, I start getting this tug toward things that occupy my mind more. I would like to be drawn by the Lord, but also by my desire, a focused desire. I want to be filled with righteousness. Then there's another song. Let worldly minds the world pursue. You know, one night this week, I had a water break at work, so I had to stay there till late. But they also had some downtown party in the atrium. And there might have been 300 or 400 people there. And it was like almost $100 to come in. You could drink all you wanted to. And it looked like many of them had a little too much. But I thought about the bands playing, the noise is going, all the commotion is going on. And I thought, you know, some people enjoy that. To some people, if they got quiet, it would be terrible for them. They just, what are we doing next where there's a crowd of people and a band playing and drinking and carrying on? You know what? I am so thankful that we can enjoy quiet. I've told it before, but every time I get on the elevator and here's the TV monitor, it's on the sports channel because that's the only thing that most people won't fight about. And for 10 seconds, I've got to have something that my mind is thinking about. Let worldly minds the world pursue. It has no charms for me. Once I admired its trifles too, but grace has set me free. This world has now no charms for me. I am thankful for that. And let's always remember, this is a two-part plan. I have a part, God has a part. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. We're living in a time where peace is hard to come by. But he says, I'll keep you in perfect peace. And how is that? Whose mind is stayed on thee. And he's able to help us with that. So I'd like to look for a little bit. Psalms 119. If you read all of that Psalms, that chapter, it's a long chapter. But that chapter is full of a desire, a hunger, a thirst for righteousness. So I just took just a few of the verses out of it. In Psalms 119 and 10, here's the desire. With my whole heart have I sought thee. You know what? That doesn't leave much to stray. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. And then it says, here's something valuable in the 11th verse. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Out in the future, to be able to have protection, we have insurance plans that will protect us out in the future, whatever happens. Here's an insurance plan for the soul. Whatever may come against me, if I'm storing away his word now, what is it? Hungering and thirsting after righteousness now, and storing those things away. I love the verse that says, because it's going to happen to us, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. And this is where it happens. With my whole heart, I've been seeking thee. Let me not wander from thy commandments. Lord, here's the ammunition that the Lord gets to use. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. What if David would have been storing away God's word in his heart? What if he had just been meditating on the Ten Commandments when he stepped out on his roof, to where when the enemy comes in, the enemy did come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord could have lifted a standard against him. You remember that verse you just now read? Flee this thing, and it could have been done. I look at another verse in the 16th verse. This is this focused desire. I will delight myself in thy statutes. Will that take some work to be able to do? It will. It's going to be just like the thing when I come to the table and mom says, why are you not hungry enough to eat this? And I have to be honest and say, you know what? I found some cupcakes a while ago and they tasted so good that I ate a bunch of them and I'm just not hungry. This one, I'm going to delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. 20th verse. My soul breaketh. This is pretty strong words that he's saying. My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all times. 34 and 35. Give me understanding and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein, when I'm going in those commandments, therein is my delight. And then in 47, and you'd find these all through there. These are just the ones that I saw. I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. So I was wondering this morning, what does hunger and thirst for spiritual things really look like? You know, it looks the same in 2026 as it did years ago. And here is what this hungering and thirsting looks like. Psalms 122, I like to think of it, we're practicing it this morning. Psalms 122 and 1, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. That there is no, what is it? There's no thirsting for life's pleasures, nor adorning rich and gay. I found a richer treasure, one that fadeth not away. So this is no longer over in the duty category. There is a scripture that reminds us, just in case we need to be reminded, and I think someone had that in Sunday school, Hebrews 10, let's just look at it, because I want it to be over in the desire category. Hebrews 10 and 25. Not forsaking, or 24th verse, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. You know, I remember, you will probably, if you could look back to when COVID hit, and churches were shut down. And we started having Zoom services. You know what? I got to where that was pretty comfortable. I didn't have the 45-minute drive. If you didn't have your camera on, you didn't have to dress up for it. In fact, if you didn't have your picture on, you could run make a sandwich real quick and come back to listen to some more of it. And you know what? We did it long enough that started feeling pretty good. We were still fulfilling what we needed to do. That was the only way we could do it. But you know what I'd have to do? Is when the chapel doors open back up again, I'm going to have to let this other verse kick in. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And these kind of things are part of this, me realizing, blessed are they that hunger and thirst. I want the Lord to be able to visit me about what hungry and thirsty spiritually really looks like, because those are some of it. That song that I just mentioned, there's no thirsting for life's pleasures nor adorning rich and gay. You know, when over in India, when we go there and we're ministering there and we talk about jewelry, you know, we don't think about it too much. We see it on other people. But you know what? There's a verse that says, he will beautify the meek with salvation. You know, salvation is something that is a beautiful thing to behold. We're not trying to even dress in a way to draw attention to ourselves. Salvation causes me to want Jesus to be on display more than looking at myself. And I had to think, as the party was going on and the people were all there, and it was almost like a show of, look at me, look at what I'm wearing, drawing attention to themselves. I am so thankful for the plan of salvation. Because blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. They're going to be filled with righteousness. It will flow out of them. So there is another one, and we look at it. This one does not have a name attached to it because it could be my name. It could be your name. And that is Psalms 1:1. There are some things that he is doing in his life. Blessed is the man. That's just any man or woman, any person. You know the places where it says, if you're thirsty, anybody, come on and drink. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. He doesn't stand in the way of sinners. He doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful. Those things that in his life, he hungers and thirsts after righteousness. So he's making choices in his life. This one, I'm going to set it aside. I'm not going to sit in the seat of the scornful. I'm not going to stand where sinners are standing. I'm going to make some changes in my life. But then look what he does do. His delight is where? It's in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. And I don't think this was intended to be a straitjacket. That, you know what, if I think about a repair I need to make on my house, I'll need to throw that away. That's worldly thinking. No. We are able to bring our mind in. I'm glad that we don't have to just, it's church time now, and so I'll think about spiritual things for an hour, and then I'll go back out in the world, and I won't think about God again till next Wednesday night. No, he wants us to be able throughout our day, what is it, let the words of my mouth, let the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. They're valuable to us. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. And there's some benefits that comes from that. He's going to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, bringeth forth his fruit in his season, his leaf will not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper spiritually. Maybe he won't always prosper financially, but he's going to prosper spiritually for sure, and I'm thankful for that. There's another one that I want to look at. Blessed is he that hungers and thirsts after righteousness. There's going to be some things that he does in his life. Matthew 13 and 44. The kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure that's hid in a field, which when a man hath found, he hides, and for joy thereof, he goes and sells everything he has, and he buys that field. I like to think about that field as being salvation and the treasure that's in it. And once I have bought it, I'm never willing to sell it. What does it say? Buy the truth and sell it not. Not next year, not 20 years down the road, not for the rest of my life. I've got to always realize the value of this treasure that I had. It had this value that the first day, it still has the value. It's just whether I see it as being valuable or not. Kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. Matthew 6:21 is another place for me to check. Little small verse. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Blessed is he that he hungers and he thirsts for righteousness. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Sometimes I need to take inventory. Sometimes I need to ask the Lord to do the inventory about my heart. Colossians, in the 3rd chapter, Colossians 3:1, is an important hungering and thirsting after righteousness. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. This is what's going to happen when I hunger and thirst after righteousness. Set your affection on things above and not on things of the earth. I am thankful that it is possible for us to do that. In a time where so much is trying to draw my attention. And there's another one over in Psalms 42. Psalms 42 and in the 1st verse. As a hart We're talking about hungering and thirsting after righteousness. As a hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. And I was looking in the commentary. It's talking about if a hunter has been chasing a deer, got dogs on his trail. That deer has been running till he just can't hardly go anymore. As a hart panteth after the water brooks, if he could just get a drink. You know, we can be that way sometimes in this world that we're living in. Lord, I need a drink from your well. There's a lot of wells out there. What does it say? My people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and they hewed out cisterns that can hold no real water. I don't want to have that in my life. I want to be hungering and thirsting. And this one says, my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Got to go to work. Got to go do some things. But I'm looking forward to the opportunity to be able to spend some special time with the Lord again. Again, I don't think this is about a straitjacket, because we go to work and we have duties to do. But to realize, you know what, this is a privilege that I can work toward. I want to hunger and thirst after righteousness. Now there's another verse that takes another little twist. In Psalms 37 and 4, we get to do a little inventory here. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he'll give thee the desires of thine heart. He will give you whatever you want. And do you remember that when God met with Solomon in a dream, and he said, Solomon, you ask what you want, and I'll give it to you. Was that a dangerous thing to offer? Not for Solomon. You know, there have been places in the Bible where the king would get so happy with something that somebody said. Remember the daughter that danced for the king? And he said, I tell you what, you just ask me whatever you want, I'll give you half the kingdom. I thought, you know, he's not even thinking rationally there. But you know what? God was able to talk to Solomon and say, I'll give you whatever you want. You know why? Because right here, this verse of Psalms 37 and 4, Solomon had been doing it. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. So is Solomon going to come out and say, I'll tell you what the desires of my heart is. I've been wanting to be wealthy for a long, long time. I want to have the most riches of anybody. No. He said, Lord, here's what I need. I need an understanding heart, because I'm here to judge this people and I'm like a child. I need your help. You know, it pleased the Lord so much that he said, I tell you what, I'm going to give you this, but I'm going to also give you some other things. So I look at these places that it talks about. Solomon had a hunger and thirst after righteousness. You know what? We're going to have to keep that hunger and thirst alive, because something happened to Solomon's hunger and thirst after righteousness before it was over. But there are other places, and here's one, because you know what? We have some desires. Here's one is John 15 and 7. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done to you. Now that looks like an open checkbook that God has signed off on, and you just write the check for whatever you want. But you know what? Here's two parts being played out here. You abide in me, and my words abide in you, and now ask what you want, and it'll be done to you. You know what happens then? I don't ask for anything except, Lord, I tell you what, you know what is best for me to be able to make heaven my home. If I ask for this, I don't know what the end result would be 2 years down the road for that help that you would give me. You know what does it say? It was good for me. The first verse before that is, no good thing will he withhold from those that walk uprightly. That's a wonderful verse. And then the verse says, it was good for me that I had been afflicted. When we can see, as we heard in the Sunday school lesson this morning, how great God is. He is there to help us out with everything. And then I come to these places that I've got a desire. Lord, I need some help from you. Ye abide in me and my words abide in you. You can ask what you want. Lord, what I'm asking is, I want you to send into my life those things that help me make heaven my home. I want you to lead and guide. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. 2026, as it processes out, I want to have my hunger and my thirst for righteousness to be increased. And I am so glad that it's available for everyone. There's another verse that said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. It doesn't say I stand at the door and knock only for certain people. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice, you know what? I don't want to be so taken with other things, legal things, that my mind is taken up and I don't hear the knock on the door. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in to him. That is for everyone. That's for me today. So this hungering and thirsting, I'd like to close with a song. It's number 151. If the Lord said to you today, you can ask whatever you want, I'm going to give it to you. What would I ask for? I look at this verse with me. You know, in my asking, I've got to have a view of eternity out ahead. If I'm only looking at tomorrow, I need a new car. I need a temporal things is what I'm looking at. When I'm looking at eternity out ahead and adjustments that I need to have in my appetite for spiritual things, here's what I want to do. More like Christ, my heart is praying. More like Christ from day to day. All of his graces rich displaying while I tread my pilgrim way. This is hungering and thirsting after righteousness. More like Christ in deeds of kindness and in all the words I say. Let the words of my mouth, let the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Yearning for the souls in blindness who are going far astray. More like Christ every day. More like Christ my heart doth say. You know what? When that is my desire, and when the Lord knows it's my desire, then he can say, Dan, I tell you what, you ask whatever you want, and I'm going to give it to you. Because right back, I'm going to say, Lord, I need you to walk with me. If you'll walk with me, it'll be all I need. Maybe we could stand and sing number 151.